Welcome to the deep dive. Have you ever considered the invisible giants that literally underpin America's growth? Especially with all the constant buzz about housing markets, interest rates, and, you know, the quest for affordable homes. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into precisely one such fascinating company. Builders First Source, Inc., known to many as BLDR. We've gone through a stack of detailed fundamental analysis reports and, frankly, unearthed a treasure trove of insights. Insights into their business, their market, and how they navigate some truly complex economic currents that affect, well, every new home being built.
Yeah, and what's truly captivating here is that BLDR is far more than just a supplier. I mean, they are an undisputed titan in the U.S. building products and services industry. They're acting as an absolutely critical partner for anyone constructing new homes or undertaking significant renovations.
Right.
Our mission for you today is to cut through the numbers and the dense industry jargon. We want to reveal what genuinely makes BLDR tick, what their audacious strategic moves are, and maybe most importantly, why their story is so profoundly relevant if you're trying to grasp the broader dynamics of the U.S. housing market.
So what exactly are we getting into as we peel back these layers? We'll journey from their origins to understand how BLDR soared to become the market leader. We'll explore their, well, ingenious strategies for navigating wild swings in lumber prices and interest rates, and uncover their unique secret sauce for staying not just competitive, but ahead in a landscape that's constantly shifting. Prepare for some genuine aha moments about a company you might not know by name, but whose monumental influence is subtly woven into the very fabric of the homes being constructed all around you.
All right, let's start at the very foundation of this story. We found that Builders First Source stands as the largest U.S. supplier of building products and services. But what does being the largest actually mean for you, the homeowner or aspiring homeowner, and perhaps more directly, for the professional builders they serve? This isn't about popping into a hardware store for a weekend DIY project, is it?
No, absolutely not. Builders First Source, Inc., which began its journey back in 1998 and is publicly traded on the NYSE, is indeed the colossal leader in this space. When we talk about largest and serving the professional market, we're delving into a scale of operations that is fundamentally different. It's different from any retail experience you or I might encounter.
Okay.
BLDR's primary clientele are the behemoth national and regional production home builders think companies constructing entire new towns or, you know, sprawling subdivisions. Alongside them are custom home builders tackling bespoke projects, multifamily contractors developing apartment complexes, and even substantial repair and remodeling firms handling massive commercial overhauls.
So really big players.
Exactly. These aren't just folks buying a few 2x4s. These are businesses that need consistent high-volume supply and intricate logistical support. Imagine what it takes to erect a single house from the ground up. An immense volume of lumber, engineered wood, prefabricated trusses, windows, doors, roofing, siding, insulation. All of it.
Right, the whole shebang.
And all the specialized installation services, too. BLDR is the powerhouse, providing a huge proportion of these critical materials and services directly to the people doing the physical construction. This makes them an absolutely indispensable foundational part of the entire construction ecosystem, focused on delivering efficiency and scale for their large volume partners. What's fascinating here, though, is that BLDR's market dominance isn't merely a result of organic growth. Our deep dive reveals a highly aggressive yet incredibly disciplined M&A strategy, merger and acquisition. This culminated in their truly transformative merger with BMC Stock Holdings back in 2021. This wasn't just about getting bigger. It was a deliberate strategic consolidation in what has historically been a highly fragmented industry.
That's a crucial distinction. How does a disciplined M&A strategy specifically translate into becoming such a commanding market leader? What's the secret behind their ability to grow through acquisition without, you know, tripping over themselves?
Well, it's all about strategic intent. A dominant market position here isn't simply about volume. It's about shrewdly acquiring complementary businesses to forge a comprehensive, highly efficient network. That merger with BMC Stock Holdings in 2021, that was a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just two large companies merging. It was the calculated fusion of two significant players to create an undisputed industry giant. It immediately catapulted their pro forma sales. That is what their combined sales would have looked like if they'd operated as one from the start to well over $11 billion.
Wow.
This kind of consolidation in an industry traditionally characterized by many smaller regional players allows BLDR to unlock unparalleled economies of scale across purchasing, logistics, operational efficiencies.
And discipline means they're not just buying anything.
Precisely. When we say disciplined M&A, it means they're not just buying companies for the sake of size. They are meticulously targeting acquisitions that either strategically expand their geographic footprint into new high-growth markets or, crucially, enhance their portfolio of higher-margin value-added products. And we'll definitely get into those. This aggressive M&A playbook signals a very clear understanding of the industry structure. There are thousands of smaller regional operators.
Right.
By methodically acquiring these, BLDR can gain market share incredibly efficiently, integrate their best practices, and realize synergies that smaller standalone businesses simply cannot achieve. It's a land and expand strategy executed with remarkable precision and a sharp focus on both efficiency and long-term value creation.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. We've observed that a core pillar of their strategy is what's termed an integrated business model and a deliberate shift towards higher margin value-added products. That sounds like a sophisticated way of saying they're not just moving raw wood. What does this integrated model look like in practice? And what are these value-added products that are so central to their success?
Yeah, you've hit on perhaps their most vital strategic advantage. It's indeed far more sophisticated than simply selling lumber. Their integrated business model means they offer a true one-stop solution for builders.
Yeah.
It seamlessly combines manufacturing capabilities with traditional supply, streamlined delivery, and even professional installation services.
Okay, so they do it all.
Pretty much. This transforms them from a mere vendor into an indispensable, deeply embedded partner. For instance, consider a builder needing roof trusses. Instead of purchasing raw lumber and cutting it to size on site, which is, you know, labor-intensive and time-consuming, BLDR manufactures that roof truss in their factory to precise engineered specifications and delivers it ready for immediate installation. This is a massive time saver for builders and significantly reduces their on-site labor needs. And as you know, that's a critical pain point in an industry constantly grappling with skilled labor shortages.
So they're essentially prefabricating significant portions of the house off-site. Does that make BLDR a kind of factory for parts of your house? And if so, how much does that fundamentally change the economics for a builder?
That's a perfect analogy, actually. They are, in essence, becoming part of the manufacturing process of the home itself. This leads us to their four primary product categories. First, and arguably their most strategic and profitable segment, are manufactured products. This encompasses items like factory-produced wood floor and roof trusses, pre-assembled wall panels, and engineered wood products. This is where BLDR truly embeds its design, engineering, and manufacturing tech, making these products inherently higher margin and far more defensible against the volatility of commodity price swings. This is their core value-added segment. Then you have windows, doors, and millwork, which are essential, precisely sized components, and specialty building products and services. A broad array, including siding, roofing, insulation, hardware, and importantly, professional installation services.
Right.
Finally, there's lumber and lumber sheet goods, which remains the most commoditized category and predictably the most sensitive to price fluctuations.
So the strategic pivot towards value-added products like these prefabricated trusses and wall panels sounds like a very big deal for their profitability and resilience. Is that the case?
A very big deal indeed. And it's a crucial insight from our deep dive. This strategic shift is highlighted as a crucial mitigant against the very lumber price volatility that has historically plagued the industry. It means they're increasingly less exposed to the wild, unpredictable swings of raw commodity prices.
That makes sense.
In 2023, value-added products constituted a remarkable 53% of their net sales. That represents a significant leap from just 42% back in 2019. This isn't just a gradual shift. It's a deliberate re-engineering of their business model.
Wow, 53%.
Yeah. Consider their proprietary solution ready frame. Instead of a builder receiving a truckload of raw lumber that then needs to be measured, cut, and assembled on site.
The traditional way.
Right. ReadyFrame delivers lumber that's pre-cut, precisely labeled, and conveniently bundled for specific components of the house. This saves builders an immense amount of time and labor on the job site, which, again, translates directly into substantial cost savings and significantly faster construction cycles for them. This innovation elevates BLDR from a mere supplier to an indispensable partner, because they're not just providing materials, they're delivering tangible solutions to real multi-billion dollar problems faced by builders every day. It's a fundamental re-engineering of the building process. Now, this integrated model and their sheer size, it raises an important question. How does a company this enormous manage to consistently serve such a diverse market across a sprawling country? Their geographic footprint is truly expansive, and it's a testament to their strategy of combining national scale with essential local expertise.
I can only imagine the logistical and operational challenges involved in coordinating that. What does that physical footprint actually look like?
It is, quite simply, massive. BLDR operates an impressive network of approximately 570 to 590 distribution and manufacturing facilities spread across 43 states. That's a formidable physical presence, strategically located.
Mm-hmm.
What's even more indicative of their market penetration is their strong presence in 91 of the top 100 metropolitan statistical areas, or MSAs. This means they are firmly embedded in the vast majority of high-growth residential construction markets across the U.S.
Okay, so they're everywhere that matters.
Pretty much. This extensive network provides a critical balance. On one hand, their national scale affords them unparalleled purchasing power with manufacturers, securing better pricing and more consistent material availability. This is invaluable for serving large multi-regional home builders who demand a consistent, reliable partner across their entire operating footprint. On the other hand, each of these local facilities offers the crucial local market expertise that is indispensable.
Right, because construction isn't the same everywhere.
Exactly. Despite being a national industry, construction still has very specific regional nuances. Building codes, prevailing weather conditions, distinct local market demands. This geographic diversity also acts as a powerful insulator against regional economic downturns. If one specific area experiences a slowdown, they likely have other markets still robustly growing, providing a fundamental level of resilience to their overall demand profile.
And drilling down further, who exactly are their customers? When you operate at such a monumental scale, one might reasonably worry about significant customer concentration, right? Where one or two large clients hold too much power over your business.
That's a very sharp observation, and it highlights another key strength for BLDR. Their customer base is indeed remarkably diverse. As we mentioned, it spans the gamut from those giant national and regional production builders who might construct thousands of homes annually, down to smaller bespoke custom home builders, multifamily contractors for apartment complexes, and even significant repair and remodeling contractors. Our deep dive reveals a truly important point about their customer concentration. It is incredibly low. For the year ended December 31st, 2024, their top 10 customers collectively accounted for only 15% of their total net sales.
Only 15% for the top 10.
Yep. And their single largest customer contributed a mere 4% to 5% of sales.
That is remarkably low for a company of this sheer size. It sounds like a significant risk mitigator.
Absolutely. This exceptional diversification is a monumental strength. It drastically minimizes the risk associated with the potential loss of any single customer, or even a cluster of customers. If, for instance, a major builder decides to shift suppliers, or if a particular regional market experiences a severe downturn, BLDR isn't left scrambling or facing an existential threat. This broad and balanced customer base provides a far more stable and resilient foundation of demand across various segments of the construction industry. It effectively buffers them against localized or customer-specific challenges and adds a layer of security to their revenue streams. Okay, let's now unpack the broader macro environment. BLDR's financial performance is intrinsically and deeply linked to the health and cycles of the U.S. housing market. This market is famously cyclical, and our analysis points to some very significant headwinds currently, particularly with the stubbornly elevated interest rates. However, it's crucial to understand that there's also a powerful long-term growth story unfolding beneath these short-term pressures.
So we're talking about the big picture here. How do macroeconomic forces like interest rates, inflation, employment trends, and shifting consumer confidence really hit home for Builders FirstSource? What's the direct impact?
Well, the connection is profound and direct. The U.S. residential construction market is exquisitely sensitive to all those macroeconomic conditions you just listed. When interest rates ascend, as they have been, it has an immediate and direct impact on mortgage rates, making homeownership significantly less affordable for potential buyers.
Right, the biggest hurdle for many.
Exactly. This, in turn, inevitably dampens demand for new homes. Similarly, persistent high inflation erodes purchasing power, making the cost of construction materials, labor, and even the final home price more burdensome. Consumer confidence, or the lack thereof, directly influences whether individuals feel secure enough in their jobs and financial futures to undertake the largest purchase of their lives, a home. Our sources explicitly highlight that the new home market in mid-2025 was, quote, stuck in a rut, with new home sales seeing a 2.2% year-over-year decline as of June.
Yeah.
Builders are acutely feeling this pressure, responding with increasing reliance on incentives, price reductions, and even smaller home sizes to try and stimulate demand. This pervasive affordability challenge is a major undeniable headwind for new construction activity, directly impacting BLDR's core business.
So what does this all mean for the future of housing? We've seen a lot of discussion around a decade-long deficit in home construction. Can you help us truly grasp the immense scale of that shortage and what it implies for the future?
This is where the long-term narrative for BLDR and the broader housing market becomes exceptionally compelling. Despite the current cyclical headwinds, there are powerful underlying demographic tailwinds that fundamentally underpin future housing demand. Our research reveals a strong consensus that the United States has been significantly underbuilt for well over a decade. Estimates of this housing deficit are truly staggering.
Oh, staggering.
Ranging from a conservative 1.7 million to a whopping 3.7 million homes since 2010.
Wow, 1.7 to 3.7 million homes. That's like building an entirely new major city, or even two, just to catch up. What are the profound implications of a structural deficit of that magnitude stretching out for years to come?
The implications are monumental. It means that even if the market experiences near-term slowdowns due to high interest rates or lingering economic uncertainty, there is an almost guaranteed baseline of demand that must eventually be met. This structural shortage implies an almost coiled spring for the housing market.
A coiled spring. I like that.
Yeah. As long as economic conditions eventually stabilize, population continues to grow, and new household formation continues its natural trajectory, there will be an undeniable fundamental need for new housing. This deficit provides a powerful underlying support for new construction activity for many years to come, irrespective of short-term fluctuations. It suggests that once the current affordability challenges ease, there's a substantial pent-up demand just waiting to be unleashed. BLDR, with its integrated model and unparalleled national reach, is uniquely positioned to capture that demand like very few other companies can when the market eventually turns.
Okay, so we've established how cyclical new construction can be, directly impacting BLDR. But they don't have all their eggs in that basket, do they? What about the repair and remodel, the R&R market? How does that segment offer a different kind of stability, especially when new builds are slowing down?
This is a truly crucial aspect of BLDR's resilience, and it speaks to their diversified revenue streams. While new construction is indeed highly cyclical and volatile, the repair and remodel, or R&R, market provides a much more stable and often counter-cyclical source of demand.
Counter-cyclical? How so?
Well, the primary undeniable driver for the R&R market is the simple fact of America's aging housing stock. Our sources highlight that the median age of U.S. homes now hovers between 39 and 44 years old. Older homes, by their very nature, require more frequent and substantial investments in maintenance, repairs, and upgrades.
Makes sense. Things break down.
Exactly. Everything from replacing a leaky roof to updating an antiquated kitchen. After a surge in spending during the pandemic years, the R&R market is still projected for modest but positive growth through 2025, with annual expenditures expected to impressively exceed $500 billion.
$500 billion just on fixing up existing homes. Wow.
It's enormous. And this is where it gets really fascinating. The current high interest rate environment, which acts as a headwind for new construction, actually creates what we call a golden handcuffs effect that directly benefits the R&R market.
Golden handcuffs. Explain that.
Think about it. Many existing homeowners are effectively locked in to historically low mortgage rates from years past, maybe 2.5% or 3%. Selling their current home and trying to buy a new one at today's 7% or higher rates simply isn't financially appealing or even feasible for a vast number of people.
Right, the math just doesn't work.
Exactly. This reluctance to move effectively channels housing demand inward. Homeowners who need more space, desire updated features, or simply want to improve their living situation are compelled to invest heavily in renovating and expanding their existing properties, rather than taking on a new, much more expensive mortgage. So while new construction might be facing headwinds, homeowners are pouring billions into improving their current homes.
I see. So the pain point for new buyers becomes a driver for renovations.
Precisely. The very macroeconomic headwind that dampens new construction simultaneously acts as the direct tailwind for BLDR's R&R business. This creates a much more resilient and balanced overall demand profile for the company. It significantly balances out some of the inherent cyclicality you see in new builds, providing a crucial layer of stability. Now, this conversation brings us to a recurring headache that has defined the building materials industry for decades. Commodity price volatility, especially for lumber. Our research truly emphasizes its profound impact on BLDR's operations and profitability.
Yeah, we all remember those wild swings in lumber prices during the pandemic. How does that kind of extreme volatility truly impact a massive company like Builders FirstSource beyond just the raw numbers? What are the operational realities they face?
It's a defining and often unpredictable characteristic of this industry. Framing lumber, in particular, can experience extreme rapid price swings, sometimes moving 20-30% in a matter of weeks.
That's huge.
It is. These fluctuations are influenced by a complex interplay of factors. Overall construction demand, shifts in sawmill capacity, ongoing U.S.-Canada softwood lumber trade disputes and tariffs, broader global supply chain disruptions, and even localized events like natural disasters or wildfires that can suddenly restrict supply or spike demand. The operational challenges for a supplier like BLDR, operating at such immense scale, are significant.
I bet.
When prices are changing so rapidly, it's incredibly difficult to provide stable quotes to their builder customers. Dealers often have to shorten pricing guarantees to as little as 48 hours. Imagine trying to budget a multi-million dollar construction project, perhaps an entire subdivision, when your material costs can fluctuate wildly every other day.
That sounds like a nightmare for planning.
It really is. This profound uncertainty can severely disrupt project budgeting for contractors and, in extreme cases, even lead to abandoned orders if a sudden price jump makes the project financially unviable.
That sounds like a continuous tightrope walk for managing margins. Does this volatility affect them symmetrically? Do price increases and decreases hit them the same way?
Unfortunately, no. It's a classic example of asymmetrical pass-through, and it creates a constant challenge. When price increases come from the mills, they are typically passed on to builders almost immediately. However, when commodity prices decrease, those reductions are often transmitted with a considerable lag, sometimes weeks or even months.
Ah, so they get squeezed on the way down.
They can, yeah. This dynamic creates periods of significant margin compression, or, conversely, expansion depending on the cycle. Imagine buying a large inventory of lumber at a high price, and then the market price suddenly crashes before you can sell it. That's a direct hit to your margins and can result in substantial inventory holding losses. This inherent volatility makes accurate profitability forecasting a continuous, complex challenge for BLDR, despite their strategic shift towards higher margin, value-added products that somewhat mitigate this exposure. It's a fundamental tension they live with.
So the supply chain for building materials sounds incredibly complex, fragmented, and prone to disruption. How does a company like BLDR, operating at such a massive scale and dealing with bulky products, manage to navigate these persistent challenges and ensure reliable delivery?
It truly is a multi-layered ecosystem, a complex dance involving raw material producers, manufacturers, various distributors, wholesalers, retailers, and countless logistics providers. And the industry consistently grapples with significant headwinds. Fragmentation among suppliers, perennial raw material shortages, the sheer logistical nightmare of moving incredibly bulky items like engineered wood and pre-assembled trusses.
Yeah, you can't just stick those in a van.
Exactly. And persistent labor shortages across the entire chain. So for BLDR, effective and proactive supply chain management isn't just important. It is an absolutely critical determinant of their success, their ability to deliver on time, and their ultimate profitability.
What are the best practices or innovative approaches they employ to handle this immense logistical puzzle?
Well, our deep dive highlights a profound focus on proactive risk mitigation and cutting-edge operational strategies. This includes meticulously diversifying their supplier base to avoid over-reliance on any single source, ensuring continuity even if one vendor faces issues. They also cultivate strong, collaborative, and long-term relationships with their key vendors, which helps secure more reliable supply even during periods of widespread disruption.
Building those relationships must be key.
Absolutely. Placing orders well in advance, even for future projects, is another strategy to buffer against potential delays and price spikes. Beyond these traditional yet vital methods, technology is playing an increasingly pivotal role. BLDR is aggressively leveraging advanced construction management systems and sophisticated analytics tools to achieve much better, more precise demand forecasting, predicting what materials will be needed, where, and when.
So using data to get ahead of it.
Precisely. Real-time inventory tracking is crucial for knowing exactly what they have in stock and its precise location across their vast network. And they're relentlessly optimizing logistics to implement strategies like just-in-time, or JIT delivery, which minimizes expensive on-site storage costs for builders and dramatically reduces material waste. This entire comprehensive approach is about injecting predictability and maximum efficiency into a naturally unpredictable and inherently complex system, turning logistical headaches into a competitive advantage.
Okay, let's now consider the competitive landscape. BLDR is clearly the market leader, but we know the industry is still remarkably fragmented. What does that persistent fragmentation mean for BLDR's ongoing strategy and its future growth potential?
Well, this fragmentation is, in fact, an enormous strategic advantage and a significant opportunity for BLDR. Even though they are indisputably the largest U.S. supplier, a position powerfully solidified by that BMC merger, the broader building products industry, particularly on the distribution side, remains incredibly decentralized.
Still a lot of small players out there.
A lot. Our sources highlight that in 2021, among thousands of suppliers nationwide, only 9 building product suppliers with manufacturing capabilities managed to generate over $500 million in annual sales.
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. Out of countless players, only a tiny handful are of substantial size.
9. That's it.
That's it. This profound level of fragmentation means there's a long runway for continued consolidation. For BLDR, this isn't just an abstract economic concept. It provides them with a clear, replicable, and ongoing strategy for sustainable growth through strategic acquisitions. They can continue to efficiently gain market share by acquiring smaller, often less capitalized regional players who might lack the scale, the manufacturing capabilities, or the advanced technological backbone that BLDR possesses. This allows them to systematically absorb competitors, optimize their vast network, and unlock even greater operational efficiencies and synergies. It's a powerful, low-risk way to expand their influence and capture more of the market. This naturally raises an important question, though. Who are BLDR's main rivals in this fragmented yet increasingly competitive environment? The competitive landscape is multifaceted, and it's not just other traditional building product suppliers they're up against.
So who are the big players they're consistently squaring off against, and how do their competitive approaches differ?
It's a complex, multi-layered arena with several distinct categories of rivals. First, and perhaps the most evolving and significant competitive threat, are the national big box retailers. Primarily, the professional arms of the Home Depot and Lowe's.
Ah, the pro desks.
Exactly. These aren't just consumer-focused stores. Both Home Depot Pro and Lowe's Pro are aggressively targeting professional contractors who represent a multi-billion dollar market. They offer compelling loyalty programs like Home Depot's Pro Extra, dedicated in-store pro desks for personalized service, competitive bulk pricing for job lot quantities, robust delivery services directly to the job site, and various commercial credit options designed specifically for builders.
Right. And didn't Home Depot make a big move recently?
They certainly did. Home Depot's recent definitive agreement to acquire SRS Distribution for approximately $18.25 billion is a monumental strategic move that fundamentally intensifies this competition. SRS is a leading specialty trade distributor in its own right, and this acquisition allows Home Depot to directly compete with major distributors like BLDR on a much larger scale, expanding its total addressable market by an estimated $50 billion. It's a clear signal of how seriously big box retailers are pursuing the professional segment, blurring the lines between traditional retail and specialized distribution.
Wow, $18 billion. That Home Depot acquisition really seems like a game changer. Who else is in the ring with BLDR, and what are their specific strengths?
Well, beyond the big box players, you have other significant publicly traded distributors. These include companies like Beacon Roofing Supply, or BECN, a major distributor specializing in roofing materials. And UFP Industries, UFPI, which is a diversified holding company that's a major converter of softwood lumber. Each of these has a more specialized focus than BLDR's broad offerings. Then, the vast majority of the industry is still composed of thousands of regional and private players. This includes large national players with extensive branch networks like 84 Lumber and ABC Supply, as well as countless smaller local lumber yards and specialty distributors. This multitude of players underscores that while BLDR is the largest, there's still a vast amount of local competition and many smaller fish in the pond for them to potentially acquire or compete against. Each of these rivals operates with a slightly different value proposition, whether it's the broad convenience and reach of big box stores, the specialized product focus of other distributors, or the highly personalized, localized service offered by smaller, independent players.
So with all that intense, multifaceted competition, what are BLDR's actual moats? There are truly unique competitive advantages that protect them from rivals and keep customers consistently coming back. How do they fundamentally differentiate themselves from a colossal company like Home Depot?
This is where BLDR truly fortifies its defensible market position and builds its economic moats. They have meticulously cultivated several key competitive advantages. The first is simply their unparalleled scale and national footprint. Their immense size translates into significant purchasing power with suppliers, which means they can secure better pricing and ensure more consistent availability of materials.
Which is critical for those big builders.
Absolutely critical for large, multi-regional builders who need reliability across their entire operating footprint. Smaller regional players simply cannot match this consistency or purchasing leverage.
That certainly makes sense. Being able to serve a national builder consistently across dozens of states must be an enormous draw, a logistical feat in itself.
Absolutely. But their most crucial differentiator, especially against big box retailers, is their integrated value-added model. By manufacturing high-value components like engineered trusses, wall panels, and their proprietary ReadyFrame system, BLDR transcends being a simple material supplier. They become integral to the builder's actual construction process, offering sophisticated solutions that directly address the industry's most pressing pain points, the persistent scarcity of skilled labor, and the constant pressure to reduce construction cycle times.
Right, saving time and labor.
Exactly. They're literally helping builders build faster, more efficiently, and with fewer on-site workers. This deep integration dramatically increases customer stickiness and creates incredibly high switching costs. Once a builder integrates BLDR's manufactured components and customized solutions into their fundamental workflow, it's not a simple matter to switch to a supplier who only offers raw materials. The disruption to their operations would be too significant.
So they're not just selling products, they're fundamentally selling solutions to the most complex and costly construction problems builders face.
Precisely. And the third major, and increasingly important, moat is their aggressive digital transformation. BLDR is making substantial long-term investments in developing an end-to-end digital ecosystem, significantly bolstered by their strategic acquisition of WTS Paradigm. This platform, which includes customer-facing tools like MyBLDR.com, is designed to streamline the entire home building process, from initial design and precise estimation to seamless material procurement and optimized delivery.
Going digital.
They are actively looking to redefine the competitive battleground. While big box retailers are formidable competitors at the transactional level, offering convenience for commodity purchases, BLDR is fortifying its position by embedding itself much more deeply into the construction value chain. Their strategic focus on manufactured components combined with these sophisticated digital tools is a clear attempt to win the builder's entire workflow, not just individual material transactions. And that Home Depot acquisition of SRS Distribution we discussed, it fundamentally validates this strategic direction. It shows that even the largest players in the industry recognize that the future lies in providing these integrated, value-added, technology-enabled solutions rather than just selling raw goods off the shelf. Okay, if we connect this to the bigger picture, BLDR's financial performance over the past 5 years really tells an incredibly compelling story of transformation. They've navigated extreme cyclicality and commodity volatility while successfully executing a massive, industry-defining merger.
Yeah, that period from 2019 to 2023, it's a financial roller coaster, isn't it? Pre-merger operations, the BMC merger, a historic housing boom followed by soaring commodity inflation and then market normalization. What did that mean for their revenue growth? Those swings must have been absolutely wild.
Oh, they were, without a doubt, spectacularly wild. And they truly underscore the dynamism of this industry. In 2020, even before the transformative BMC merger, their net sales grew a robust 17.6% to $8.6 billion. However, it's crucial to understand that a significant portion of that growth, about 9.0%, came purely from commodity price inflation, layering on top of 5.6% core organic growth.
Ah, so not all volume growth.
All right. Then came 2021, the year of the BMC merger, combined with an unprecedented housing boom and absolutely soaring lumber prices. Revenue more than doubled in a single year, rocketing to an astonishing $19.9 billion.
Doubled.
Yep. Sales actually peaked in 2022 at an incredible $22.7 billion. But as the housing market inevitably cooled and commodity prices deflated, revenue moderated significantly to $17.1 billion in 2023, a substantial 24.9% decline. For 2024, our analysis projects it to be even lower than 2022 or 2023, primarily due to ongoing pressures in both the single-family and multifamily segments.
Managing that kind of swing must be incredibly challenging.
Immensely. Imagine the logistical challenges and operational realities of managing such massive swings. Scaling operations up and down, managing thousands of employees, optimizing complex supply chains, and controlling costs when your revenue can swing by billions of dollars year over year. It truly tests the agility and resilience of a company's entire operational fabric.
Given those wild swings in revenue, how did their profitability, their margins hold up through all of that? Did they just get battered by the commodity price volatility, or did their strategic shift protect them?
Well, it's a fascinating and instructive story of both intense external pressure and remarkable strategic resilience. Their gross margin percentage stood at a respectable 27.2% in 2019. It actually compressed slightly to 26.0% in 2020 because rapidly rising commodity costs temporarily outpaced their ability to immediately pass those increases through to customers on their short-term pricing commitments.
Okay, understandable.
But then, following the BMC merger and during the peak of the housing and commodity cycle in 2022, gross margin expanded dramatically, reaching an impressive 34.1%. This expansion was powerfully driven by a favorable shift in their product mix towards those higher-margin manufactured products, disciplined pricing strategies, and their ability to capture significant margin on appreciating inventory as prices soared.
So they benefited from the price surge there?
They did. Even as the market normalized in 2023 and 2024, gross margin remained surprisingly robust at 35.2% in 2023, before settling at a projected 32.8% in 2024 due to ongoing pressures.
So even with the market normalizing, their gross margins are still structurally and significantly higher than pre-merger levels. That really suggests their strategic pivot to value-added products is making a tangible, fundamental difference, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's the key takeaway. This indicates that their strategic shift towards value-added products is indeed making a real and lasting structural difference, providing a higher floor for their profitability. Adjusted EBITDA margins, which reflect overall operational profitability after certain expenses, followed a similar trajectory. Expanded from 7.1% in 2019 to a peak of 16.6% in 2022, before contracting to a projected 14.2% in 2024. This demonstrates both the significant operating leverage inherent in the business, meaning that even small changes in revenue can lead to substantial changes in profit and its inherent sensitivity to broader market conditions. But the underlying structural improvements from that shift to value-added products are unequivocally clear. Despite this inherent volatility in their core markets, one of BLDR's most impressive and consistent strengths has been its ability to generate truly robust free cash flow. This is the financial engine that fuels their entire strategic playbook and allows them to execute their ambitious plans.
What kind of numbers are we talking about here for free cash flow, and how does that relate to their overall financial health?
We're talking about very substantial figures indeed. BLDR generated an impressive $1.9 billion in free cash flow in 2022, followed by an even more remarkable $2.3 billion in 2023, with a projected $1.5 billion in 2024. This consistent and strong level of cash generation is incredibly powerful. It's the lifeblood that funds their entire capital allocation strategy, from their ongoing disciplined M&A activities to their significant and aggressive share repurchase programs.
That's serious cash.
It is. Our deep dive also highlights their strong returns on invested capital, or ROIC, of 19.6% and a return on equity, ROE, of 28.0%. These are very healthy financial ratios that not only demonstrate they're generating a lot of cash, but critically, that they're deploying that capital with exceptional efficiency and profitability. They are making smart, value accretive investments that are consistently yielding strong returns for shareholders.
So with all this robust cash generation, what does it mean for the company's future? They seem to have a really aggressive M&A strategy, but they also talk about returning capital to shareholders. How do they balance those seemingly competing priorities, and what's the logic behind their acquisitions?
It is indeed a carefully managed and highly disciplined balance, and M&A truly remains a core pillar of their growth strategy. Their approach uses acquisitions to systematically consolidate a fragmented industry, strategically expand their geographic footprint into new high-growth regions, and continually enhance their value-added product portfolio. They have a long and demonstrably successful history of integrating these deals, extracting value, and achieving significant synergies.
Like ProBuild and BMC.
Exactly. Think back to the 2015 acquisition of ProBuild for about $1.63 billion, which initially created a truly national dealer network with combined revenues of around $6.1 billion. Then, of course, the truly transformative all-stock merger with BMC Stock Holdings in 2021, which definitively established them as the undisputed industry leader with pro forma sales exceeding $11 billion.
And that WTS Paradigm acquisition in 2021 was a bit different, wasn't it? It seemed more about technology than just expanding their physical footprint.
Absolutely. It was a pivotal strategic move. The 2021 acquisition of WTS Paradigm for approximately $450 million was not primarily about physical assets or immediate sales volume. It was a critical, forward-looking strategic pivot. While their earlier large-scale acquisitions focused on expanding physical reach and market share, the Paradigm transaction was about acquiring a crucial technological capability and intellectual property.
So buying the digital future, essentially.
That's a good way to put it. The deal was valued at a high multiple, approximately 9 times the target's expected 2021 revenue of $50 million, clearly signaling that this wasn't about buying immediate earnings. Instead, it was a strategic investment to build the core digital backbone for the company's future, creating a proprietary end-to-end ecosystem that integrates the entire home building process. This aims to create a durable, technological competitive moat. Beyond these major deals, they are also constantly pursuing smaller, strategic tuck-in acquisitions, such as Standale Lumber, Encore, Quality Door, and the recent agreement to acquire Alpine Lumber in late 2024.
Filling in the gaps.
Precisely. These smaller deals fill specific geographic or product gaps, strengthening their regional density and capabilities. A key to their consistent success here is their proven ability to not only acquire but also seamlessly integrate these businesses and extract significant financial and operational synergies. The ProBuild acquisition, for instance, targeted $100 and $120 million in annual synergies, while the BMC merger aimed for an even larger $130 and $150 million within 3 years. These savings come from network optimization, enhanced purchasing power, and eliminating duplicated expenses, directly boosting their bottom line. Now, this robust cash flow and disciplined M&A strategy raise an important question. How exactly do they prioritize their capital across these various needs? Our deep dive shows that management is a very clear, disciplined, and transparent four-pillar capital allocation strategy.
A four-pillar strategy sounds very structured. What are these pillars, and what do they signal about management's priorities?
Indeed, it's a very clear roadmap for how they deploy that robust free cash flow. The first pillar is to maintain a strong balance sheet. They target a net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio of 1.0x to 2.0x. Think of this ratio as a measure of how quickly they could pay off their debt from their operating profits. Keeping it low gives them significant financial flexibility.
Flexibility to act when needed.
Exactly. Flexibility to navigate those housing cycles and pursue strategic opportunities without being constrained by debt. As of Q3 2024, they were comfortably at 1.4x, well within their target range, which is a sign of financial prudence. The second pillar is to invest in organic growth. This means intelligently directing capital towards high-return internal projects, such as further investments in manufacturing automation, developing new technologies, and enhancing their existing facilities. These investments are designed to drive continuous operational excellence and generate significant productivity savings, directly contributing to their long-term growth and margin expansion.
So improving what they already have.
Right. The third pillar is to pursue accretive M&A. As we've discussed, they maintain a highly active pipeline of potential tuck-in acquisition targets that perfectly align with their strategic goals of either expanding geographically into attractive new markets or enhancing their higher-margin, value-added product offerings. They're constantly looking for strategic opportunities to consolidate the fragmented industry. And finally, the fourth pillar is to return capital to shareholders.
Buybacks and such.
Primarily through an aggressive share repurchase program. Since 2021, they've executed multiple multi-billion dollar repurchase authorizations, significantly reducing their outstanding share count and consequently boosting earnings per share. This aggressive posture on buybacks reflects both their robust free cash flow generation and management's strong conviction in the long-term value of the business. It's a clear indication that they believe their stock is undervalued at certain points in the market cycle, and they are willing to put their cash to work to enhance shareholder value.
Beyond just acquiring other companies, what makes BLDR so exceptionally good at what they do day to day? Our deep dive consistently highlights operational excellence and building competitive moats. What are the day-to-day, on-the-ground things that truly give them an edge in this highly competitive industry?
Well, their operational capabilities are truly the unsung backbone of their market leadership. Firstly, their supply chain and logistics are simply unparalleled in the industry. Their sheer scale translates into immense purchasing power, allowing them to secure highly favorable terms and ensure a consistent, reliable supply of materials, which is absolutely critical for large, multi-regional builders who cannot afford delays.
Reliability is everything for builders.
It really is. With over 570 strategically located facilities, they operate an incredibly efficient distribution network that enables both on-time and in-full delivery. Imagine a builder on a tight schedule with dozens of crews waiting. Getting the right materials exactly when and where they need them is invaluable. This logistical prowess provides enormous value to their customers, reducing project risk and improving cycle times, making it a core part of their value proposition.
So they're basically a precision-engineered machine when it comes to getting complex materials to thousands of job sites every day.
Exactly. Secondly, they have an obsessive focus on manufacturing excellence and automation. This refers to their in-house capability to produce those high-margin, value-added products we discussed earlier. They've invested over $130 million since 2020 in automation and advanced technology for these manufacturing facilities.
$130 million is a big investment.
It is, and it's yielding remarkable productivity gains. For example, their truss manufacturing efficiency has improved by approximately 45% since the BMC merger in 2021. This unwavering focus on automation not only boosts efficiency and expands margins, but also crucially helps them mitigate the persistent challenge of skilled labor shortages in the broader construction industry. By providing factory-built, ready-to-install components, BLDR directly helps their customers build homes faster, with less waste, and with significantly less reliance on scarce on-site labor. A massive, tangible, competitive advantage that directly impacts their customers' bottom lines. What's truly fascinating here, though, and a key strategic pivot, is their aggressive focus on digital transformation as a primary strategic pillar. This is where they're looking to fundamentally redefine the competitive battleground and cement their future market position.
I remember you mentioned the WTS Paradigm acquisition earlier. How is that playing out in their digital strategy? What's the big picture goal behind this massive investment in technology for a building materials company?
That acquisition was absolutely foundational. BLDR is investing aggressively to build a comprehensive, end-to-end digital platform that integrates the entire home building value chain, from the initial design and precise sales processes, all the way through material procurement, optimized delivery, and even project completion. WTS Paradigm provided the core configuration and quoting technology for this platform, which is now being systematically rolled out through customer-facing tools like their MyBLDR.com portal.
MyBLDR.com, okay.
The strategic goal here is profoundly impactful. They want to solve their customers' most persistent pain points related to inefficiency, material waste, and complex project management. By providing builders with sophisticated digital tools for 2D and 3D modeling, highly accurate estimation, seamless ordering, and real-time project tracking, BLDR aims to embed itself so deeply into its customers' daily workflows that it creates incredibly high switching costs.
Making themselves indispensable.
Exactly. Once a builder is using MyBLDR.com to design, order, and track their entire project, it becomes prohibitively difficult and costly to switch to a competitor who only offers raw materials and manual processes. It's about changing the fundamental way homes are built.
So they're attempting to become indispensable through technology, not just through their physical products and delivery. And I heard something about an ambitious revenue target for this digital push.
Precisely. They are looking to capture the entire workflow, making their relationship with the builder far more integrated. And yes, management has set a highly ambitious yet indicative target. They aim to generate an incremental $1 billion in product revenue, specifically from these digital solutions, by 2026.
$1 billion from digital.
That's the target. That substantial number underscores the immense importance and potential management places on this strategic initiative. It's not just about internal efficiency. It's about unlocking entirely new revenue streams and making their customer relationships incredibly sticky and defensible against competition.
So as we look forward, beyond the current market cycles, what are the big growth opportunities BLDR is actively pursuing? Where do they see themselves expanding and gaining further market share?
Well, there are several clear and compelling vectors for their future growth. First, and perhaps most immediately actionable, is continued market share gains within a still fragmented industry. Despite their formidable size, BLDR currently has an estimated market share of only around 11% in single-family new construction, at a mere 2% in the multifamily sector.
Only 11%. Still lots of room to grow them.
A substantial runway for growth, primarily through those accretive tuck-in acquisitions we discussed, such as Alpine Lumber and OC Klus. They can continue to expand their geographic footprint into underpenetrated markets and increase their local market density, leveraging their scale to gain share from smaller, less efficient players.
So there's still a vast ocean of smaller, independent companies out there for them to potentially acquire and integrate.
Precisely. The industry remains ripe for consolidation. Second, they're making a concerted effort to increase their penetration of multifamily and light commercial markets. While single-family residential construction remains their core, accounting for about 71% of their 2024 revenue, BLDR is actively pursuing greater penetration in the multifamily sector.
Apartments, condos.
Exactly. And the light commercial sectors, such as small office buildings or retail spaces. For multifamily builders, they've developed specific service offerings, leveraging their national scale to provide consistent pricing models, centralized credit management, and dedicated account executives for large national projects. While the multifamily market is currently facing some near-term headwinds from oversupply in certain regions, the long-term fundamentals driven by urbanization and demographic shifts remain highly attractive. The light commercial market also represents a largely untapped and diversified opportunity for them.
And their digital push clearly plays into their future growth plans too, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The third vector is the relentless expansion of their digital platform and technology-enabled services. Their goal is to drive widespread adoption of their MyBLDR.com portal and associated digital tools. This isn't merely about streamlining internal processes. It's about creating profoundly stickier customer relationships and capturing a greater share of each customer's total project spend. By offering services that dramatically improve efficiency, reduce costly errors, and simplify complex project management, they're creating a powerful value proposition that goes far beyond just selling materials.
Yeah.
That ambitious $1 billion incremental digital revenue target by 2026 clearly signals the immense growth potential and strategic importance management places on this initiative. Finally, they are deeply committed to growth in value-added product categories. This means consistently increasing the sales mix of those higher-margin, factory-built products through organic investments in manufacturing capacity for items like roof and floor trusses, wall panels, and engineered wood products. This aligns perfectly with the broader secular trend towards off-site construction, which reduces on-site labor requirements, minimizes waste, and significantly accelerates building times across the industry. Now, this exhaustive discussion of BLDR's strengths and growth vectors brings us to a crucial balanced perspective. What are the key risks? Every strong company faces formidable challenges, and BLDR is certainly no exception, especially given the inherently cyclical nature of its markets.
Even with all those strategic moats, the integrated model, and their operational excellence, what are the biggest potential threats that keep management up at night? How vulnerable are they to external forces?
Well, the single most significant risk facing BLDR is its direct and substantial exposure to housing market cyclicality. We've discussed it extensively, but it bears repeating. Approximately 71% of their 2024 revenue was derived from the single-family segment. The housing market is inherently cyclical and highly sensitive to external factors like interest rates, the availability and cost of credit, overall economic growth, and fluctuating consumer confidence.
The big macro risks.
Exactly. A prolonged and severe housing downturn driven by any of these factors would undoubtedly lead to a material decline in demand for their products and services, hitting their revenue, profitability, and cash flows hard. It remains the fundamental macro risk for the business.
And what about those wild lumber prices again? Is commodity price volatility still a major risk, despite their strategic shift to value-added products?
Yes, commodity price volatility, especially for lumber, remains a critical and defining risk. While their strategic shift to higher margin, value-added products helps to mitigate some of this exposure, sudden and sharp fluctuations in commodity prices can still create significant margin pressure. If raw material costs rise rapidly, they might find themselves unable to pass on the full increase to customers, particularly those with existing fixed price agreements, which can compress their margins.
Squeezing them again?
Right. Conversely, rapidly falling prices can lead to painful inventory losses if they're holding materials purchased at higher costs. This inherent volatility makes accurate financial forecasting challenging and can lead to significant swings in quarterly earnings, adding a layer of unpredictability to their financial performance.
What about their customer base or their reliance on acquisitions? Are there specific risks tied to those areas?
Indeed. While they benefit from low customer concentration, there's always the broader customer concentration and credit risks during a general industry downturn. If the entire home building industry experiences a significant and prolonged slowdown, it could lead to increased credit risk across their customer base, impacting everyone from large public builders to smaller local contractors. A surge in customer defaults or bankruptcies would negatively impact their accounts receivable and overall profitability, requiring increased allowances for doubtful accounts.
Makes sense.
And of course, their very heavy reliance on acquisitions, while a strength, also inherently brings M&A integration and execution risks. While they have a strong track record of successful integration, every new acquisition presents its own set of challenges, from integrating disparate IT systems and merging corporate cultures to optimizing overlapping operations. There's always a risk of failing to realize anticipated synergies, or worse, overpaying for a target, which could impair goodwill on their balance sheet and reduce returns on invested capital.
And the competition, especially those big box retailers like Home Depot and Lowe's, are they still a significant and growing threat?
Absolutely. Competitive threats remain a serious and evolving concern. The building materials supply industry is highly competitive, and BLDR faces significant pressure from large, well-capitalized big box retailers like the Home Depot and Lowe's, who are aggressively expanding their professional market offerings. Home Depot's acquisition of SRS Distribution is a prime example of this intensifying competition, demonstrating their intent to capture more of the professional distributor market.
They're definitely moving in on BLDR's turf.
They are. Increased competitive pressure could lead to pricing pressure, margin erosion, and a potential loss of market share if BLDR cannot continually and effectively differentiate its offerings through its value-added products and digital solutions. Finally, there are inherent supply chain and logistics risks. Their expansive operations are dependent on a complex, multi-tiered global supply chain, making them vulnerable to a variety of disruptions.
Manufacturing delays, transportation issues.
It's exactly. Transportation bottlenecks, labor disputes, localized natural disasters, or broader geopolitical conflicts. Such disruptions could lead to product shortages, increased costs, and critically, an inability to meet customer demand, directly impacting their reliability and ultimately their market standing.
So with all that in mind, the tremendous growth they've achieved, the inherent risks they face, and their bold strategic shifts, how do we begin to think about what BLDR is actually worth right now? Valuation for a cyclical company like this can be incredibly tricky.
Yeah, you've highlighted a truly critical point. Valuing a cyclical company like BLDR genuinely demands a nuanced approach, looking at its performance not just in isolation, but through different phases of the broader housing cycle. Relying on a single valuation metric at one specific point in time can be very misleading. For instance, their trailing price to earnings, or PE ratio, has historically exhibited incredible volatility. It peaked at over 64x in late 2017 when earnings were depressed, and then troughed at just 3.8x in late 2022, right at the peak of the post-pandemic earnings cycle. This pattern is very common for cyclical companies, where a low PE at the very top of a cycle can actually be a value trap, often signaling that earnings are about to decline sharply.
Right, looks cheap, but isn't.
Exactly. While a high PE at the trough might suggest an impending rebound.
So putting that historical volatility aside for a moment, what does their valuation look like today in July 2025? What are the market signals?
Well, as of July 2025, BLDR's trailing 12-month PE ratio stood at approximately 17.3x to 17.4x. This is notably higher than its 9-year average PE of 13.75x, which could suggest that the market is valuing the company more richly now. Perhaps in recognition of its improved market position, its structural margin improvements, and its strategic initiatives. Analyst consensus estimates for future earnings put their forward PE ratio in the range of 15.8x to 16.8x, generally indicating an expectation that earnings will moderate somewhat from their recent elevated highs. Now, if we connect this to the bigger picture, comparing BLDR's valuation to its peers provides essential market context. This helps us understand how the market is specifically valuing their unique business model and competitive positioning relative to similar or even adjacent players.
So how does BLDR stack up against its competitors in terms of these key valuation multiples? Are they seen as cheap, expensive, or fairly valued in the market?
Well, when we compare BLDR to its closest publicly traded peers, which include other building product distributors like UFP Industries, Beacon Roofing Supply, and Boise Cascade, as well as the large home improvement retailers like the Home Depot and Lowe's, a few key differentiators emerge. BLDR currently trades at approximately 10.2x enterprise value to EBITDA, 17.4x price to earnings, and 0.98x year price to sales.
And how do those multiples compare to the others in the space? Is there a clear premium or discount?
It's quite insightful, actually. BLDR generally trades at a premium to some of its more direct asset-heavy competitors like Boise Cascade, which has a PE of around 11.0x. But at a noticeable discount to the big box retailers like Home Depot, which is a PE of 25.4x, and Lowe's at 18.7x.
Interesting. So valued higher than distributors, lower than retailers.
That seems to be the case. This suggests that the market fundamentally views BLDR as more cyclical and perhaps more asset intensive than the retail giants, which typically command higher, more stable multiples due to their different business models and customer bases. However, BLDR's current valuation appears to strike a balance. It recognizes its clear market leadership and strong free cash flow generation, while simultaneously factoring in the inherent cyclical risks of its primary end markets and the near-term economic uncertainty. It's a valuation that acknowledges their strong position, but with a cautious eye on the volatility.
Behind all these strategies, the impressive numbers, and the calculated risks, there's a management team steering the ship. How important is their leadership, especially in such a dynamic industry, and what does our deep dive say about their track record?
Oh, the quality and stability of the management team are absolutely critical, especially in an industry characterized by inherent cyclicality and for a company so heavily reliant on M&A as a growth driver. BLDR's senior leadership team has a strong and credible track record, particularly in operational execution and the incredibly complex integration of large-scale acquisitions like ProBuild and BMC. That proven capability to seamlessly absorb and integrate massive companies, extracting synergies and enhancing efficiency, speaks volumes about their expertise and strategic discipline.
And there was a recent CEO change, right?
Yes. A notable leadership transition occurred in late 2024, with longstanding CEO Dave Rush retiring after 25 years. He was succeeded by Peter Jackson, the former CFO. This transition to an internal successor is generally a positive signal, suggesting continuity and strategic direction and a deep understanding of the business from within.
So it sounds like a very clear, consistent strategic vision driving the company forward.
Yes, precisely. Management has consistently demonstrated a clear, unwavering strategic vision focused on compounding shareholder value over the long term. This strategy is built on several key interlinked pillars: driving profitable growth through their value-added solutions, expanding market share via a disciplined and accretive M&A program, investing aggressively in digital transformation to construct a powerful competitive moat, and meticulously maintaining a strong balance sheet to provide financial flexibility.
Sounds like a solid plan.
The effective execution against this strategy is plainly evident in their successful market consolidation, the structural expansion of their margins, and the significant return of capital to shareholders through those aggressive buybacks. It's also worth noting that insider ownership is around 2.6%, which provides a meaningful financial alignment between the management team and public shareholders. Furthermore, the board composition is actively evolving, with recent appointments specifically aimed at deepening their expertise in e-commerce and digital solutions, directly aligning with and reinforcing their most critical strategic priorities for future growth. Now, for you, the listener, who wants to keep a close eye on BLDR's performance and understand its trajectory, there are specific key metrics that can help cut through the noise of commodity cycles and clearly highlight the underlying health and strategic success of the business.
Okay. So if we're tracking BLDR's story beyond just revenue and profit, what are the most important numbers or indicators we should be watching to truly understand their progress and risks?
There are six critical metrics that provide a nuanced picture. First, core organic sales growth. This is arguably the purest measure of their underlying volume trends and market share gains, as it meticulously excludes the distorting impact of acquisitions and commodity price fluctuations. Second, value-added products as a percentage of sales. Consistently tracking this ratio is essential to accurately gauge the success of their strategic shift towards higher margin, less volatile revenue streams. A continuous increase here is a very positive indicator. Got it. Core growth and value-add mix. What else? Third, adjusted EBITDA margin. This is a comprehensive measure of operational efficiency and profitability through the various phases of the economic cycle, indicating their ability to convert sales into operating cash. Fourth, free cash flow and conversion. This is critical for assessing their ongoing ability to fund their ambitious capital allocation priorities, including both their M&A strategy and their significant share buybacks. It shows how much cash is left after running the business and investing in its future.
And what about their financial health and, crucially, that promising digital transformation? What should we look for there?
Exactly. Fifth, you absolutely need to watch their net debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA ratio. This leverage ratio is the primary indicator of their financial risk profile, and it should be monitored closely to ensure it remains comfortably within management's publicly stated target range of 1.0x to 2.0x. Staying within this range signifies financial prudence and capacity for future strategic moves.
Right. Keep the debt in check.
And finally, and crucially, digital platform adoption and revenue.
Since the digital strategy is a cornerstone of their long-term vision to embed themselves deeper into the construction workflow, tracking metrics related to the adoption of the MyBLDR platform, and most importantly, the incremental revenue it generates will be critical for validating this significant investment. Keep a close eye on their progress towards that ambitious $1 billion incremental digital revenue target by 2026.
So bringing it all together, what does this deep dive mean for the big picture of Builders First Source? Our source material offers some really solid concluding observations, almost like answering the top questions we'd have about BLDR's future prospects.
Indeed, our analysis wraps up with five key observations that powerfully summarize the strategic thesis for BLDR. First, regarding the sustainability of their market share gains, the analysis strongly suggests these gains are sustainable. Primarily driven by their well-honed and disciplined M&A strategy in a still fragmented industry, coupled with their unparalleled scale and integrated business model. The main caveat, of course, is the intensifying competition from big box retailers, which could influence the pace of future gains.
Okay, gains look sustainable, but watch the competition.
Second, on their ability to maintain margins. Our findings indicate that their margins have undergone a structural improvement due to their highly successful shift toward manufactured value-added products. This provides a significant and lasting buffer against raw lumber price volatility, meaning that while margins will still fluctuate with cycles, they should operate with a noticeably higher floor and greater overall resilience than in the past.
And their capital strategy, is that a key strength for them moving forward?
Third, concerning their capital deployment. Management has consistently demonstrated a disciplined, effective, and shareholder-friendly framework. They've proven their robust ability to successfully execute and integrate accretive acquisitions, and they show an unwavering commitment to returning substantial capital to shareholders through aggressive share buybacks. The consistent and robust generation of free cash flow provides the necessary and abundant fuel for this strategy to continue across different phases of the economic cycle, giving them tremendous flexibility.
Makes sense. What about triggers for the future?
Fourth, looking at key inflection points. The most significant positive trigger for BLDR would likely be a sustained and meaningful decline in mortgage rates. This would probably unleash years of pent-up demand for new housing, providing a powerful tailwind to their core single-family construction business. A secondary, yet also highly important, inflection point would be the accelerated adoption of their digital platform, which has the potential to lead to a structural increase in both market share and operating margins by deeply embedding them in the builder's workflow.
And finally, how does the current valuation reflect all of this complexity and potential?
Fifth, and finally, the report concludes that the company's valuation reflection carefully balances several critical factors. It fully acknowledges BLDR's position as the undisputed market leader, supported by a strong strategic vision and significant consistent cash flow generation. However, it also judiciously incorporates a discount for the inherent cyclicality of its primary end market and the lingering uncertainty surrounding the near-term housing outlook. What's particularly notable in our analysis is the observation that the current valuation does not appear to fully price in the long-term potential of its ambitious digital strategy to create a durable competitive moat and fundamentally transform the business model.
So maybe some hidden value in the tech play.
It implies there might be unappreciated value in their technological pivot, and a significant upside if they successfully achieve their digital ambitions. #, #AtroBasader.
What an incredible journey into Builders First Source. It's abundantly clear that this isn't just a conventional building material supplier. It's a strategically positioned, adaptive giant reshaping a foundational industry. They've painstakingly built their dominance brick by brick, leveraging scale and smart acquisitions, but they are now truly building it bite by bite with their visionary digital strategy. It really makes you pause and wonder, doesn't it?
Indeed. The compelling story of BLDR powerfully highlights how absolutely critical adaptation, strategic innovation, and operational excellence are, even in industries as foundational and seemingly traditional as home construction. It raises a truly important question for all of us observing the broader economy and the future of housing. If interest rates were to stabilize or even begin to tick down, how quickly and profoundly could companies like BLDR, with their deeply integrated models, their robust balance sheets, and their cutting-edge digital backbone, catalyze a significant rebound in U.S. housing, potentially transforming the landscape and the very process of home building even further?
A truly fascinating thought, and certainly something to mull over as you drive past any new construction site. What stands out to you most about BLDR's deep dive? Until next time, keep digging for those insights.